Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm helping you navigate your dating, sex, and relationship questions. Topics include parts of her body you should never ignore in bed, why a lifelong healthy sex life is important, nipple play toys for more pleasurable stimulation, and when is the right time to share your fantasies? All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com and check out the show. I love when you guys subscribe to the podcast. It makes life so much easier for me and for you because we actually have two shows a week. We release them on Tuesdays and Fridays. And also, you'll never miss another show again. And when you subscribe, you can go right back to the place if you were listening like 20 minutes in and like maybe your mom walked in or like your boss or something. A lot of you listen at work. Let's just circle back to that in a minute. Like, does it make you more productive or not? But anyway, when you subscribe to the podcast, you can easily get back to where you, the place that you were at. And also, it just helps us with the show. So we appreciate that. And also, you can also find the show now on iHeartRadio. That's the latest place. You can find it also iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Spotify, and the Podcast One app. Where can't you find it? Jesus, right? Thank you for following me on social media. I appreciate it. It's Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram. It's all at Sex with Emily and Facebook. And you guys have been awesome. I do love your Facebook messages and your Instagram messages and all that. And I am trying to answer all of them. However, sometimes they're a little bit long and a little bit detailed and intricate. It's just, you got to email me. It's so much easier to go to the website. So I hope you do that. But it doesn't mean that I don't love you and I don't want to help you, because I do, deep, deep in my soul. I love you all. And I so appreciate hearing from you. And thank you everybody for listening. Okay. Today, I'm going to answer your emails. But first, I need to talk to you about something that's really important. And that is parts of the body that you should not ignore, that you may have been ignoring. And I'm going to give you some updates here, because you're probably like, oh yeah, no, I know that it feels really good to have a kiss on my ear, or it feels really, really good when, you know, the partner touches the nape of my neck. Why doesn't it happen anymore? And a lot of these things that I'm going to tell you about, like all these different erogenous zones that are often neglected, you probably have had them played with or stimulated, but it might have been early on in your relationship. It might have been the first kiss, the second kiss. And I feel like a lot of this kind of goes when you're in a relationship or you start dating someone. I don't know if it's because we think that we don't need to be turned on as much. I mean, the collective we, I know what we need because I can't wait. I can't go on very long without these all these things being stimulated. But I think that we get so focused on, which is great, pleasing our partner, being really good at oral sex or being really good at like intercourse. But I think we forget that a lot of these amazing parts of our body also feel just as good and can also lead to orgasms if you're into that kind of thing. It can also help speed up. I don't want to say speed up, but it can contribute to foreplay. When some people think, oh God, you need 18, 25 minutes of foreplay. We don't have that much time. Well, guess what? I'm not saying that you have to perform oral sex for 20 minutes. You could give your partner a scalp massage, or you could play with their clitoris a little bit longer or their inner thighs. So I'm going to break this down for you just to jog your memory. Okay, so this study that came out that said these are parts of her body that you should never ignore in bed. And I'm reading this going, wait, what about his body? These would all feel great on his body as well, because I want both men and women to experience as much pleasure as possible. So let's start with the scalp. Did you know that the scalp is packed with nerve endings, but it rarely gets touched? Like maybe when you're getting your hair washed and you're like, can you do that again for like 50 more minutes or something? But it can be very relaxing and it can be very arousing. And it does respond really well to scratching the scalp. You know, you can scratch your scalp. You can, you know, move your fingers like across the entire head, like in circles. You could take a break and you can kind of like do some of the hair pulling like at the roots. I wish I could explain this to you guys. Do you know how to pull hair correctly? Like you really don't want to just pull it so it hurts, but you want to have your, it's like a tuft, like your hands are resting against the scalp and then you pull. So your fingers aren't actually leaving the scalp, but you're still pulling the hair away. Does that make sense? The hair pull? So the thing is, a nice scalp massage, it can be for 5 minutes. It could be part of your, could be part of everything else that you're doing. It could be part of foreplay. That all feels good. Okay, the ears. Why they deserve your attention. Again, all these areas, these erogenous zones that we're talking about, they have so many nerve endings. And when they're stimulated, they can really turn you on for everything else. And so since a lot of you are emailing me and you're like, or calling and you're saying, I don't have a libido, I'm not turned on, my partner just wants sex right away, but I'm not feeling it. I mean, I feel like I hear this from women a lot. Like if, what if your partner came in, guys, whoever, you know, anyone who's dating a woman or having sex with a woman, and you came up to her first before just like slapping her boobs and pulling her pants down or something, and you started to gently kiss her ears, like gently, like you just, you know, around the tips and like the outer curve of her ears, you can suck on her earlobes. You can like take an earlobe in your mouth and like slowly like nibble on it. And then you could breathe lightly and blow on it. I mean, that just feels so good. Guys like it as well. Guys like this as well. They like the nibbling. They like the breathing. And again, it's about the nerve endings. So you can do this to men and women. But what you shouldn't do, okay, this is reminding me of something that, let me tell you what you shouldn't do. So I just got back from Wanderlust. I was speaking at this amazing festival in Tahoe. It's a yoga festival. And I gave 2 sex talks. And one of them was about, of course, you guys know, it was about foreplay. Duh. It was called Foreplay is a Requirement, Not a Suggestion. And I was talking about that I've had a lot of bad sex in my life, which is why I'm here, because now I only put up with good sex. But there was this guy a long time ago. For some reason, he really thought that sticking his entire tongue into my ear, like his entire tongue, like he was like wedging it into there. And then it became kind of like wet and there was like saliva dropping down. I was like, seriously, I needed to get like a tray to pick up the water dripping on the ground. It was like disgusting. And I said to him, I pushed him away. And I was like, that just doesn't really feel good. He's like, well, it turns me on. And then he left. I told him to leave and it was the end of the story. But I'm just saying that's the wrong way to do it. So for most of these things that I'm talking about, stimulating the erogenous zones, even if I'm talking about oral sex, it's really good to play with light textures, to go slow, and to just not rush through any of this, which I also think that we're not very practiced at. I think we're not practiced at taking sex slow. And so these erogenous zones, when you're kissing their ears and sucking on the earlobes, do it slow and have fun with it. The next one is the nape of the neck. I think we pay attention to, well, okay, overall, I think the neck is grossly ignored. And just like kissing that can go in long-term relationships, most men and women that I know enjoy the neck kissed. They do. And I think that most of you pay attention to the front and the sides of the neck, but the back of the neck, the nape of the neck, again, very sensitive spot. says that women are more sensitive on the back of their neck than men. I don't know. I haven't done my own studies. I'm not sure if that's true, but I don't know. I don't know if a guy would kick out of his bed for tickling the nape of his neck. But you can lift your hair up, like have your partner lie on their stomach, and then you can like kiss from one shoulder to the next and then moving across the nape of the neck. So you can also pair this with the scalp massage. It can be just like really relaxing. Think of all the tension that we hold in our body around our neck and our shoulders. So when you're playing with the nape of the neck, again, you could like nibble on it, you could kiss it, you could lick it, blow, like do a little hot and cold air. Okay, the next, this is strictly for women because men don't have this. It's the mons, or the mons pubis, is an area on the woman, which is, it's the top of her pubic bone. And typically this is covered in pubic hair, unless she waxes or shaves it off, and it's packed with nerve endings. And it's very close to more sensitive areas, right? Because you remember, like I always talk about the clitoris has 8,000 nerve endings, but it's not just about the clitoris. It really, it's the whole area. It's the vulva. It's stimulating the inner labia, the outer labia. And here's why the mons is amazing. Because when you are either like you're putting your fingers inside or you're going down on a woman, if you press your palm against her mons, just sounds funny, I know, her mons, and then you push up like towards her head, like not down, it can feel amazing, help expose her clitoris a little bit, and it also has indirect stimulation to the G-spot. So it's like the layer of tissue above the G-spot. And for a lot of women, that can really feel amazing. She can have that elusive G-spot orgasm or just multiples, and it's a good time. Get to know the mons. And for women also, you don't need a partner. You could do it on your own when you're masturbating. Oh, this reminds me of the WeVibe. WeVibe just came out with a new toy a few months ago called the Wish. And I think, I know every sex toy. I believe that the Wish is the only one that it stimulates the inner and outer labia, but you can also use it, like it's not just for your clitoris, and you can also use it, like just lie it on your mons. On your mons. Can we rename it? Just like I want to rename the vagina. Can we rename the mons? No, but use the Wish. It's amazing if you guys haven't tried it yet. Okay, inner thighs. That's my other favorite part. Inner thighs is so, this is really important, you guys. I almost feel like if you take anything away, the point I'm making here is about the tease. A lot of this is about teasing, but especially the inner thighs. And I want to say it's for women and men. I think that we all kind of would appreciate the tease when it happens to us. Again, there's lots of nerve endings there, but you're also so close to the genitals, but you're not quite there yet. I think that we talk about a lot on the show is that we just rush so quickly towards intercourse, right? That you're with someone and they just like rip your clothes off. And they stick their, they're trying to have sex right away, stick their penis inside of you, their fingers. Women, we're just like, we're not really turned on and we're not ready to go. And I don't want to say that men aren't also sometimes want a little teasing, but I think especially for women, there's no women that I've ever talked to that ever said like, oh, I hated when he teased my inner thighs. Why did he do that? So when you stimulate the inner thighs, you don't just have to use your fingers. You can use your fingers to start, but you can also like use your mouth, use your tongue, use your lips and spend time like licking and kissing like the crease, the inner thighs. And then you can head back, like go down to her knees, up to her stomach, and don't go right for her genitals yet. I mean, you want to like cross over to both thighs. You can gently massage them. This is going to turn her on and send her through the roof. Because then when they say, and I hate to say this because it's so like some douchey guy would say this, and I like these pickup artists I used to hear talk about, they'd be like, make her beg for it. She's going to be begging for it. But I swear to God, this is just going to be, she's going to get to that point where she's just really going to be really turned on, which is what we want. We really want to turn our partners on. And I think that it's very confusing for a lot of you who email me and ask me questions and you're like, why isn't she wet? Why isn't she turned on? Why doesn't my partner, like, and women who feel like they're not turned on, low libido. If your partner like spent some time teasing you, and I'm telling you for like 15 minutes, like all that time you're worried about, like, am I doing oral sex right? Why aren't we having sex anymore? If you just took all that time and you just like teased her inner thighs for like 10 minutes, your outcome would be very, very different. And I think that also just the anticipation and the tease is a huge part of foreplay and sex. It's sort of a lost art. And it's really not that challenging. It's just like, you got to think about it. Like, I know that I want to grab her breasts and her vulva right now, but I'm not going to. So what can I do in that spare time? I can play. I can use my hands and I can tease her with my mouth and my fingers. I can go up and down her body and her stomach and her inner thighs and her neck, but I'm not going to go to all the other parts of her body. So think about the tease that way. It's the slow build. It's really hot and it's really fun. And you'll have that kind of sex that you want because that's what I'm all about. Okay, I love you all. Thank you for listening to the show. I'm going to take a quick break. Thank you for supporting our sponsors. And I'm going to answer your emails when we come back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Okay, guys, we're on to your emails. I love hearing from you. It makes my day. It's amazing. You can now text me your question. Just text Ask Emily, all one word, to 797979. Ask Emily, one word. A lot of you have like tweeted and messaged me. You're like, it didn't work. It's because it's Ask Emily, one word. You can also submit a question from the sexwithemily.com website via the Ask Emily tab, which is really easy to do. And as always, include your gender, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. And I can't wait to hear from you. Here's our first email. Hi, Emily. I was in the audience for your foreplay talk at Wanderlust. I have a nagging question. I was struck by how much work it is to maintain a good sex life. Why is a good sex life important? My wife and I have been married for 15 years, have 2 kids, and have experienced the sex phase. It was fine, but now it seems like a lot of effort for something we've already done. Society seems to push the idea of an active sex life as quite important. Is there research or anything concrete that suggests it really is? In other words, is there a potential negative impact on our relationship if we don't have a healthy sex life? Thanks for your thoughts, Jeff, 44, New York. Jeff, I'm glad you came to the talk at Wanderlust. Thank you for emailing as well. And I think that this is a great question, and there's a lot that I want to say here. Okay, sex is a really important part of your relationship. And I understand that you've said you've already done it. You've been together 15 years and you're probably thinking, you know, we've had enough sex and now we're best friends and what's the problem? But the thing is, if you don't continue to have sex in your relationship and connect, then you're not really having the intimacy that's required to be in a healthy relationship overall. When you first, you said in this question, I first read the question about is an active sex life is important. But then you asked me after that, the negative impact if you don't have a healthy sex life. So this is why I love you guys. You know, we're also taking calls now. I don't know if I mentioned this, but you can call into the show. When you email us, you can mention that you want to be called because, Jeff, I want to talk to you because when you say it's not healthy, for example, I'm not sure what that means. So just going to put some scenarios out there, like maybe you haven't had sex in a few years or you have separate bedrooms or you feel like you're best friends. To me, that's not healthy because couples still crave that intimacy, even if we're not talking about intercourse. A healthy sex life enhances intimacy, which is so important for your relationship, but it doesn't have to be intercourse. It can be that you are, you know, again, you guys, I just mentioned all the erogenous zones. Like it does, you could take intercourse off the table if that's become more complex or if there's some issues there. You could just give each other like massages. You can cuddle on the couch and watch TV. I mean, we're talking about intimacy here and ways to continue to connect with your partner. And you're saying it seems like a lot of effort, Jeff. So I'm wondering what the effort is. If you said you've already done it, you've been together 15 years, I'm assuming that you actually already know all the hot spots and how to please each other. So if you're telling me that there's effort, I'm wondering, what else is going on? Maybe your wife can't have orgasms as easily. Let me just say that. Have you guys brought sex toys in your relationship? Have you talked about this stuff? Have you used lube? Most women, if you add lube, you guys know how I feel about lube. Lube on every nightstand. If you add lube to pretty much any sexual scenario, whether it's like oral sex, massage, actual intercourse, it can enhance every situation, leads to more orgasms. And if you want some studies about why it's important, I mean, we all know that healthy sex and having orgasms and having that release is really important. It's better for your overall health. It's better for your mood. Healthy prostate. I mean, maybe you do masturbate all the time, Jeff. That's great, but it's important to have the release. But I just think it's crucial for just the emotional health of your relationship and your connection overall. So again, I'm not sure if you're having sex once a month and that doesn't feel right, but if you're never having sex and you've already resigned yourself to the fact that we've had enough sex and that phase of our life is over and you're 44 years old, I'm going to say it will negatively impact your relationship again, because it doesn't feel to me that that's a strong intimate connection and you have the emotional health that you need to move forward. Thank you for emailing me, and thanks for coming to Wanderlust. Dear Emily, my question is about filtering. I'm of the opinion that you should be most open with your spouse, so I'm more unfiltered and direct when communicating with him. I have no intention of hurting him. However, he says that my approach comes across as very critical and directive. He says I deal with relationship issues like I do business issues, and this comes across in my tone and my language. He prefers a softer approach, and he's of the opinion that you care most about the ones you love, so you want to be mindful of their feelings. I agree with the second part, of course. He shared how he would like me to approach filtering, owning my feelings, focusing on the discussion at hand, i.e. putting down my phone, and using more sensitive language. I feel like I've done this and tried many times already. However, we're still at odds when it comes to difficult discussions. Perhaps I'm not being soft enough, but then I'm sugarcoating and that doesn't feel genuine. I don't feel like I should have to change my approach. I'm trying to come to grips with how to broach difficult discussions with my husband and internalize his feelings on the matter. How do you suggest I move forward and potentially strike a balance? Love your show, Lynn, 43, San Jose, California. P.S. Thanks so much for your wonderful podcasts. My husband and I love listening and discussing some of your topics. We've been married over 15 years and try to take your advice to heart. Aw, thanks, Lynn. I love it. I'm so glad you guys are having good sex, but not great conversation. I can help you with this. Okay, you gave me a lot of details here. It sounds to me that this is something that you guys can solve, and you're going to have to do it together. You've been together for 15 years, so you have a very specific way of communicating and how you've always communicated. Like, I feel like you're in your routine, and when you guys talk about things, it's the same way. You have the same resentments. He brings something up and you might say, yeah, you always bring that up. It's because the time that I didn't get your mother a holiday present. You know, when you're with someone that long, you have your routines, you have your triggers, and you kind of tend to have the same conversation over and over and over again. And although you're trying, it seems like you're really, really making the effort to learn how to have conversations differently, that I believe that this is a great case here for some couples therapy. And I'm not saying like you're in crisis and you actually need to go for a year, which is what I tell most couples who are like in a really bad place. But you guys are actually in a great place. And I would send you to couples therapy, because I think all you need to do is to learn some very, very specific tools around communicating. Like things that are like, he could tell you what he needs and you could tell him, but you're not hearing each other anymore. After 15 years, I just feel like neither one of you are going to be able to get this if you haven't gotten it in 15 years. Plus, the thing I love about therapy is that they're kind of like this mediator, and she's sitting there. You guys will have the same fights that you're having, and then she'll be like, try this, and she'll give you some homework assignments and the way you communicate, and you'll go home, and I feel like you guys can fix this, because I feel like some resistance on your part, and tone and language is really important. So I feel like if you can't get that tone down, there's something in your tone, and it's not your fault, that reminds him of the ways you say other things. And even though you think you're softening your tone, it's just going to keep triggering him in that direction. So I feel like you're really mindful, and I feel like this is a very thoughtful email, and I do think that you both seem like really smart, really committed. You're having amazing sex. You've already worked on that. Let's just work on communication. I think go to a therapist for like a month and you'll be able to solve this. Thank you, Lynn. Appreciate your email. Hi, Emily. I've been a fan of the show for a while, listening almost every week and reading the website too. I even got my husband to listen on a road trip last summer. Full disclosure, we may have stopped at a hotel before our actual destination after feeling inspired by your podcast. I love that. I love that you had to pull off the road and have sex. I'm doing my job. Okay, I'm writing because our sex life almost exclusively revolves around nipple play. He and I both love giving, receiving nipple stimulation, and it's our primary foreplay, usually a nipple 69, and a method to orgasming using hands, mouths, and toys. Nipple 69 makes total sense. I get what you're saying. Haven't heard of the nipple 69. I love you. I love learning something new. It makes sense, obviously. It's very rare for us, but no, the nipple 69. Like, I want to add that to my next book. Yeah, like, it makes sense. You just don't put your mouth on the genitals. You just flip around and just stick it on the nipples. Okay, it's very rare for us to conclude with actual intercourse, but that's totally okay because we love how we love. In an effort to keep things new and fun, I've researched nipple toys, but can't seem to find any with consistently positive reviews. We've talked about clamps, suction toys, and even pumps, but we aren't sure what's reliable, pain-free. We like teasing and pleasure, not pain, and useful for both men and women. Do you have any advice for what toys or techniques could enhance our somewhat unconventional but very satisfying routine? Love to you, your team, and the rest of the people out there who share their stories for the benefit of the rest of us. Cheers to happy, healthy sex for everyone. Molly, 40, Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks for your email, Molly. I adored how you said we love how we love, because I think a lot of us worry, are we normal? Is it okay that we have sex this way? Is it okay that we have these fantasies? And the fact that you guys are cool with, like, you guys are both satisfied and you're okay with loving how you love. And remember, couples can have amazing sex and it's not just about the intercourse. You guys have found a lot of pleasure through nipple stimulation. Nipple stimulation is very underrated. I feel like a lot. There's so much pleasure to be had with the nipples. So I've got some ideas for you here. You specifically asked about clamps. You said suction toys, pumps. Here's the thing. There's a few options I'm going to give you. Here's the thing about nipple clamps. If you go to my website, Sport Sheets makes a lot of different types of nipple play toys. So the thing about the nipple clamps is that you can adjust them and several of them, I think most of them are adjustable. They have really pretty ones too. The Midnight Collection, it looks like a necklace, like a jeweled necklace, but it's nipple clamps. No one would know. You could go out for dinner and have them on your nipples, but you can adjust them. So really, you can make it as tight or as loose as you'd like. So the thing about nipple clamps is, especially these, that you could play with it. They don't have to go all the way to the tightest knob. You can kind of play with how you want to place them on your nipple, so you can do it at a softer setting, and they're really easy to use. And the thing about nipple play is that the tighter that you make them, you know, the blood will be leaving your nipples for a moment, and then when you release it, it all rushes back. So it's that playing with those sensations of the blood coming in and out that can be very arousing. And so I know that I recommend all the Sport Sheets products. They have different nipple clamps you can play with. So, I mean, I think those have good reviews. They also have nipple suckers, okay? So those are like squeezable, and they just kind of give extra suction, and they increase your sensitivity and the blood flow. So it's just another way to stimulate the nipples. They've got nipple suckers that are like $19, I think, on our website. I mean, they're pretty reasonable, but I think that it's more about you guys playing around with some of these toys and figuring out what really feels good. I can't tell you what feels good on your nipples, but I think you guys are going to have a good time trying. You really can't lose here. If you have some vibrators, this is another thing you could do, is use a vibrator playing with your nipples. The vibrations feel amazing. I think that Jamie in our office had her first nipplegasm. This comes from Jamie, okay? Using the Womanizer. You guys know that the Womanizer I have named the Clit Whisperer, because it's actually, oh God, this patented air technology just feels amazing. And so Jamie, she's a smart chick. She thought, hey, feels good on my clitoris, I'll try it on my nipples. Then she had a nipple orgasm. So I think the Womanizer is a great one. Actually, the way it's positioned and the way it has this gentle sucking, that's actually a great idea. Haven't tried it yet. There's also the WeVibe Sync or the Unite. They're both, it's a couple's toy. The Sync / or the Unite. The Sync has a remote control and you can use it using their app, but you could also use the Unite, and it's the vibrator that you can actually wear during intercourse, but you can also use it to clamp around the nipples. That can be a really fun vibrator to play with. And finally, let me tell you about Volt. Okay, Volt is a new product by Joe. You guys know that I'm obsessed with all the Joe lube, and it's essentially a tingling serum. It's a clitoral stimulant, but hey, it's going to feel amazing on your breasts, I promise you. And it's a little bottle and it has just like a little bit of sensation. So you put a few drops on and it feels amazing. I can tell you that I've tried it. I was at dinner with the Joe guys like a year ago and they're like, check out this new product we have. You can wait till you get home. And they put it in my purse and then I went to the bathroom and I was like, well, as long as I'm here. And I tried it and it takes a few minutes and I was just sitting there at dinner with them and I was like, oh yeah, my clitoris is buzzing and it feels really good. And so I told them it actually approved of the product because that's part of my job. So you can check out Volt Arousing Tingling Serum. It's on my website, sexwithemily.com. So I think that's a lot of tips there, Mel. You guys will be good. You can also just, I think you guys got this. Use a vibrator, use Volt, use some, any of these nipple things. You guys will figure out what you like. You're never going to get bored. There is so much to do with the nipples, so little time. Hi, Emily. I lost my virginity 3.5 years ago, age 24. Last year, I recently released my inner freak as I've now just become more interested in sex. I have many fantasies. For example, having sex on the beach and oral sex in unique places, like at work or in the woods. My ex was down for these fantasies, but he couldn't keep up and we ended up going separate ways. I've met guys who are turned on by my inner freak, but when it's time to do something that's a little out of the ordinary, they chicken out. I've been telling men what I want right away. Should I hold off on telling guys my sexual fantasies until after we've been dating for a while? Alexis, 28, San Francisco. Hey, Alexis in San Francisco, one of my favorite places on the planet. I love that you are so in touch with your fantasy life. Like having a rich fantasy life is a crucial part about having a healthy sex life. In fact, there's a lot of women that email me and they're like, I have no fantasies. So I think it's amazing that you have these fantasies and that you're willing to express them. Now, I'm not going to give you like a time limit. I'm not going to say, well, wait till the third date or wait till you've been dating for 3 months. I think that if you know what you want and you know what turns you on, that you should tell somebody that you're having sex with, that you trust, and that you like spending time with. So I'm not going to give you a timeline here. But what I am going to tell you is that it could also be about the way that you're telling the guys, that maybe this guy who chickened out or the other one who went the other way. Talking about sex can be complicated, right? A lot of people have never talked about sex. Like, not only do we not have any sex education, we don't know how to talk about it and we don't know how to ask for what we want. And then we have a lot of judgment around sex. So I'm not sure how you've been saying it, but if you're like, hey, I want to go have sex on the beach right now, you know, and he's just trying to get in your pants and he's not even really sure what that means. And are you, what if you guys get arrested? I mean, I think that you need to kind of open it up in a way that kind of let the conversation unfold. So it's not just like a one-way street. So you could have the conversation with him about, hey, you know, here's some things that turn me on, or do you have any fantasies or things you want to try? Which I think is like a healthy conversation to have with someone you're having sex with. Like, I love like when I'm with a partner and I'm like, so like, what do you want to try? Like, what do you want to do? And so I think that even though they might say, I don't know, I think there's a lot of guys and women who are like, I don't know. You could say, you know what? I think you'd be really hot. I've had a fantasy about having sex on the beach, or I think it'd be really hot if you went down to me if we went for a hike. Like maybe you guys are about to go on a hike and you could say, you know, it'd be so hot if you went down to me while we're hiking. And you kind of like play into a certain scenario, let it unfold as things are happening rather than just like laying down these lists of things you want to try, because I think they might not understand it. So walking through how it would work, asking them to join the conversation so you're not like the fantasy dictator, like this is what I need, this is what I want. I'm not saying you're doing that. I'm not there when you're having the conversation. But it is the kind of thing that some of the guys you're with, they might, again, they might not have had these conversations. They might not even have thought about it. So I think that tell them as soon as, you know, you're having sex with them, because you know this is what turns you on. And I think that the right guy, if you say it in a way that's, you know, you slow down and it's thoughtful and you listen, that you're going to find your match in no time. Thanks, Alexis. Great questions today. God, I love all my listeners. I love my amazing team. Thank you, everybody, for making this show so great. And thanks for following me on all the social media and emailing me. I love hearing from you. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.